We'd like to say we appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Appreciate you being here in the midst of this service. And just want you to pray for us for just a minute. We're going to ask Brother Will and Brother John Michael if they would come sit right here on this front bench. Changing things just a little bit, but Lord willing, we'll be baptizing Will here in a little bit. And next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we'll be baptizing John Michael. You pray for us. We sung a song this morning. And I was just listening to the words of it. And the title of it, "Is Not This the Land of Beulah?" Is not this the land of Beulah? He says, "I'm dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land of wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams, where the air is pure and the real and thorough." That's right. "And thorough, laden with the breath of flowers, they're blooming by the fountain neath the amaranth dyed bars." Says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears. Broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've tasted life's pure river and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay, for I've found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away." This writer is not talking about his afterlife. He's talking about what he found in this life. It's a blessing when a person, I'm not going to read the rest, I could, it's a beautiful song. You've probably heard the statement, out of a lot of folks as they get close to death. And a lot of times you'll hear them say, "Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm going to a better place.
Yes, Lord.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm going to a better place." I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that right as of now. Don't worry about me. We're in a better place. And we are. We're in a better place. I don't know this morning what we'll do. I really don't. We've got Brother Will. He's going to be baptized down at the creek. And Brother John Michael going to be baptized here at the church. And due to circumstances and different things, Will might not be here next Sunday and might not be the Sunday after. But so I'm going to get these two before they get baptized. Lord, help me. Lord, help me.
Amen.
I'll get you that have been baptized. You say, "Preacher, you act like you're going to enjoy this." Well, I'm going to try my best. Going to mind the Lord. I said this here a while back, and after I'd preached a message, I believe, Brother Buck Baker down at Plainview, he'd always say, "Lord, send us some willing workers. Some willing workers." I don't know, and I really don't. I may not do nothing but just read this. You think "Preacher, you're going to discourage them." I really don't think so. I would like to encourage them. I really would. I'd like to be an encouragement to them. I'd like to have that opportunity to be an encouragement to them. This is the church covenant. You got it hanging right here on the wall. You can read it. I may have told this to you before, and it's I was in a revival. Me and another fellow. And I know the other fellow as far as knowing him, but I had never been around him very much. And I was preaching, I guess, every other night. And I sat on that first pew, and they had a church covenant just like that on the wall. And I'm not ashamed of it. I believe the Lord gave it to me. I read that thing. I read it several nights. I read it. When I went back to the church on Sunday morning, I got up and I preached on it. I preached on it. And somebody, for whatever reason, somebody asked me what I got out of that revival. And I said, "Well, you heard it. You heard it. It's what the Lord gave me I do not know. Now the paragraphs, not the first paragraph, but after the first paragraph, every one of them begins with we. We. And when you say we, that puts we in the pot. Puts us all. Everybody. And those paragraphs have another word in there that really needs to come alive. It really does. It needs to come alive. I worked this week and we had a young man that he worked on automobiles, and they'd come up to the service department. They'd have to get them and take them back down, and they handed him one, and he looked at it. He opened the door, and he turned around and brought it back. And he told the tech there, said, "I can't work on this one." He asked him, "Why not?" He said, "I can't drive a manual." It's actually a 6-speed. He said, "I can't drive." You know what it takes to drive a manual automobile? Something has to be disengaged, and something has to be engaged to ever drive one. They looked at me and said, you take it down. I said, "Yeah." He got in the other side. He said, "You know," he said, I can work on them. I can do everything." He said, "I just ain't never drove a manual." He said, "I don't even know how." And I looked at him and told him, I said, "Well, it takes practice. It takes practice. About anything you do, it takes practice." These paragraphs begin, "We engage." We also engage. We further engage. And we moreover engage. So if you do anything with this church covenant, I'd like for you to get a hold of them, that word, engage. Because that means that you put it in action.
Amen.
Put it in action. It says, "Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ." Now that's what happens. That's what happens. Not only is that what happens is that the church will give you the right hand of church fellowship. Church fellowship. And that puts you as any member of Mountain View Baptist Church. Once that's done. That's the process here. Number one, he said, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God. That's, your life is not your life. Preacher, if I read the scripture right, the Bible says that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. That price was the Spirit of God, was the blood of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. And according to your faith is how you'll be baptized. Now, I'm going to get past this and get on into the other. Lord, help us. But it says, we engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Now that's a covenant that we're under. We're just not picking on you. This is a covenant for the church. It's what we're supposed to do as a member of Mountain View Baptist Church. Walk together in Christian love. Strive for the advancement of this church. Now, there's an art, my friend, to be frank with you, to what some of these things need to be done. Our churches across this land, and I'll say this, in our country churches, is missing out on a lot of things. We're not the big mega church. We don't have the atmosphere. I talked to a young man several years ago, and he went to big church down in Cartersville. And I asked him, I said, well, I know quite a few people that go there. And he said, well, I don't know nobody. I said, what? He said, I don't know nobody. He said, we gather in groups. He said, there's about 15 in our group. And he said, I can tell you about them 15. He said, I don't know anybody else. How can you advance, and how can you strive for the advancement? How can you walk together in Christian love when you don't even know each other? How can you? You think about that. But that's not, you say, preacher, we're not out to get people to come in. Well, let me ask you a question. What are your doors doing open?
Amen.
There's people, my friend, that would love to have a place to go. Now, I know there's things going on round about even today. And we got situations, brethren, that we cannot control. But I can't help but to believe in my heart that if you as a person want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, there's nothing in this church that will hinder you to do so. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, as you two new members, it's up to you to help us, my friend, maintain the church for the Lord. Is that not right? For the Lord. Now, he says here to promote its prosperity and spirituality. Spirituality. You think about that a minute. Spirituality, it's got all to do with what kind of relationship you have between you and God. If you don't have a good relationship, you will never have a good spirit about you. It takes relationship. It takes that from the Lord. There's no way under heaven you can promote spiritual things living a carnal life. Mark it down. It takes the Spirit. You say, preacher, we're carnal. It takes you to get by with the carnal things, and if you don't promote that of the spiritual things, who in this world's going to do it? Amen. It's the church. Amen. It's the church. It's how things, my friend, prosper. In the church, my friend, is through the Spirit of God. I can't help it. I really can't. I can't help it. There's a lot of carnal things that are done in the church, my friend, that are just that. They're carnal and they're no benefit to the church. None. This covenant, I tell you, my friend, a little bit about how to even live for God Himself. To sustain its worship. Y'all know what sustain means? Y'all do. It's not rocket science. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't engage yourself, you'll never sustain anything. You've got to be a part of it. You've got to be engaged. Now, I understand, and I hate it, but you get in churches sometime, this side don't fellowship with that side. That's a shame. Do you know what? It's just a shame. And I know, I'll probably make a statement. It's on the end of my tongue. But I know this morning that if you don't feel comfortable coming to the house of God, my friend, you ain't going to come very much. Now, saying that, brethren, the Spirit of God, if you've been living like the devil, the Spirit of God ain't gonna let you feel comfortable. You won't do it. You can't live like the world, my friend, and put on a Sunday suit, thank God, and go to the house of God, and God bless you for it. He won't do it. And you'll know it. Preacher don't have to tell you. You'll know it. I've got something that I have to help myself with. It ain't everybody that's a preacher. Do you know that? It ain't everybody in the household that's a preacher. Even if the father's a preacher, it ain't everybody in the household that's a preacher. But as I've told my children when I was raising them, I said, as long as you're under this roof, my friend, this is how things will be. Do you know that? Now I'm going to tell you to. You can take it and throw it out the window if you want to. But brethren, I want you to know that it's up to us to sustain the worship of God. Now, you're going to be part of that. And brethren, you've got to engage yourself in order to help us sustain its worship. Yes, you do. Ordinances. You know we ain't got but two, and I'm going to preach to every one of us. Because half of you don't show up at communion. Yes, sir. What do you mean, preacher? It's an ordinance. We ain't got but two. Baptism. You fixing to take part of that. But brethren, we've got another ordinance, which is the communion. And this church has communion. And the covenant says it's an ordinance. That we are to sustain. Amen. Sustain its ordinances. Now I know I've pastored here long enough. I know who shows up. You say, preacher, I'd come for communion, but I don't like that foot washing. I got news for you. The real truth of it is, if you just come to communion, you can let foot washing take care of itself. Amen. We don't care if you sing to us. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know whether Scripture don't tell us that foot washing is an ordinance. But I'll promise you, and I'm just going to preach to you just a minute. My friend, if you ever washed feet, my friend, you never would stop. Now, that might be a broad statement to some of you. Some of you, my friend, just got to have the right spirit to wash feet. And I'm going to tell you something. It's your own fault if you ain't in the right spirit. Yes, sir. I'm not mad at you. Listen, you say, preacher, we don't like to hear that. I have preached, and I'm going to say this, and I believe it with all my heart. I have preached two messages about foot washing. Two. And you know where I preached them? I preached them in a non-foot washing church. Both of them, two different places. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I might ought to start preaching on foot washing the day that we have it. We might get some folks, my friend, ready to drag the pans out. Yes, sir. Preacher, I just don't like that foot washing. Did you know that Mountain View is a missionary foot washing Baptist church? She is. She practices foot washing. That's all that means. We practice it. We do it two times a year, May and September. Is that right? April. That's where I messed up last time. April and September. October. I had both of them wrong. Two times a year, we have foot washing. Two times a year, this church does an ordinance called communion. I, as your pastor, and I'll say this, even the deacons around here, there's not one person going to get on to you if you don't wash feet. Not the first one. But you, as a member of Mountain View Baptist Church, ought to show up for communion. You ought to be here. That won't be the last time you hear that. But you ought to be here. Why, preacher, are you so dogmented on that? I'm dogmented because it's an ordinance. It's an ordinance of the church. God help us. God help us. What's wrong with having communion? What's wrong with it? You're a member of a church, brethren, that supports communion. What in the world's wrong with it? I'm going to tell you, some of you don't feel worthy. It comes down to the feeling, some of us. I had a man tell me years ago, he was a member of this church. Years ago. He said, I'm just not going to come to church and be a hypocrite. My very words to him, I said, well, just quit being a hypocrite and come on. It's something, my friend, knowing where you ought to be and you just ain't willing, my friend, to put you in a place to where you can be there. Did you know that this covenant says also to regularly support the ministry? Now, brethren and sisters, you know what that's really talking about? It's talking about you being engaged as a member, brethren, and showing up in support when the doors of Mountain View are open. Hallelujah. Like me, dislike me. Brethren, if you're going to be a part of it, thank God be here when we got our doors open. Amen. Preacher, we ain't going to amen this message. I didn't look for much. And I'm just going to be plain with you. I would to God it'd sink into your heart. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you. That you already know. It's no big thing. You already know it. I'll say this, and you might get mad at me, but John Michael, you know more than him. Yes, sir. And brethren, it ain't. You say, preacher, you're pointing him out. I want you to know, brethren, that I'll point John Michael out, and you're just as guilty, my friend. Those that's sitting here, you know exactly what we need around Mountain View, and brethren, it demands your presence. I understand. The Lord understands. You can say, preacher, I'm not coming back. Circumstances. I'm not here telling you, my friend, that you are unreasonable in what you're doing. Brethren, but to be faithful is to be regular. And to be regular, my friend, is very hard sometimes. Yes. How many times do you go to work and don't feel like it? If you've ever been to work very much, you've done it. Went when you was half sick, three-fourths sick, should have been in the bed. You say, preacher, I don't want to come and bring all that stuff to the church. I ain't asking you to do that. But we'll look for any little old excuse, my friend, not to be here. Yeah. Yes, we do. You know, you say, preacher, you ought to be talking to them too. I am talking to them too. But they ain't the only ones here. This ain't gonna hurt none of us. It never has. And the truth of it is, it would be a lot better on us if some of us understood how to exercise it. How to engage it. You know, he says here, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Now, I'm going to talk about something just real quickly. The expenses of the church. Did you know there's a lot of people, my friend, missing the blessing of giving? I'm going to say it monetarily. Monetarily. You say, preacher, we got people that's far better off than I am. I got news for you. That does not help you one iota. That does not bless you one iota. It ain't, my friend, that a half a dozen, or it ain't two or three, or it ain't 10 or 12, my friend, members that we've got. Brethren, you are a member of this church, and you are to regularly, it's hard for me to say that word, regularly, my friend, help the expenses of this church. Amen. You're a member. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. A lot of times your bag's running out because you ain't done your part in this ministry. It takes it. You remember the time that Moses, it come down time, brethren, to build that of the tabernacle. The first time. And he told the people, what did he tell them? He told them to bring what they had for the tabernacle. And after a while, my friend, some of the workers come to him and said, Moses, tell them bring no more. Yeah. That what he said? Bring no more. We got more than enough, thank God, to take care, hallelujah, of the tabernacle. That's the first time they ever built it. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah. Don't bring no more. We've got enough. Listen, you say, preacher, you've been here long enough to know I don't preach on money. But I'll tell you this, and you can mark it down. Brethren, you don't give to God, my friend, he will get his portion.
Amen.
From you. Yes, sir. He'll do it. It's just a fact. Listen, you say, preacher, we've had enough of this church covenant. Get on something else. I got news for you. I don't care how many times you read it, folks. I don't care if you can quote it front ways and backwards. Brethren, put it to work.
Amen.
Let it live in your life. Let it become part of you.
Thank God, then you'll realize what a member really is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Brother Fonzo Cochran, and I believe I'm telling you the truth. He got in the church when they made him the church clerk of this church. He never missed a conference. He is clerk for what? 47. Do you hear that? 47 years. He did come one night sick and asked the preacher, could we have conference first? Yes, sir. Preacher, I'm dedicated, but I ain't that dedicated. You ought to find out how to get dedicated. Yes, sir. You ought to find out, my friend, what it takes to be in the house of God, because you are a member of Mountain View Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to tell you something you want me to. I can put it down in hours. How many hours you spend at church? You ain't got enough meetings, my friend, thank God, to even complain about. Amen. Used to have conference on Saturday night. Moved it.
Bless him, Lord.
Didn't we? Yeah. Moved it. Yeah. Got to the place, nobody showed up. Is that not right? I'm going to tell you something. You mark her down, brethren. You go wind up losing more than that if you don't apply yourself as a member of Mountain View Baptist Church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Things of this world is very important. If you don't believe it, just look around and see where we put our emphasis. Yes, sir. I know what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, we can grow our church if we build us a fellowship hall out there with a basketball goal, and we feed them every Wednesday, and we do all this. And I've got news for you, my friend. Yes, that'll feed them. Yes, that'll get them here. But brethren, their heart's somewhere else.
Amen.
If that's what you want, brethren, you'll have a social club and not a church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm not against any of that. Do you hear me? What do you mean, preacher? If you want to feed them, my friend, before they get here, that's up to you. But I'll promise you one thing, my friend, when they get to the house of God and they come in the house of God, they ought to be a spirit.
Yeah.
Thank God that changes things.
Amen.
I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Will, I'm going to talk to you a minute. There's things, and it's, you can say I'm old fogey, you can say I'm over the hill, you say that things will change in your day, but I'll promise you one thing. You best leave the church like she is. When it comes to her worship, thank God and how people are saved. Brethren, that ought not to be a stone ever moved.
Amen.
In your lifetime.
Yeah.
Preacher, that's too much to put on him. I got news for you. He ain't by himself.
Amen.
10 years from now, 20 years from now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If we ain't careful, Darrell, you say, preacher, it's going to be okay. I got news for you. You can run around here all day long if you want to. And thank God you can prove to everybody in here that everything's okay between you and God. And I'll tell you, when your spiritual life ceases, when you cease to pray, when you cease to care about your brother and your sister and help them carry their load, and you're not a member you ought to be, brethren, this church won't never have a worship service like we have today. Won't do it. It'll change. I know what I'm talking about. You young folks, and I'm just going to be plain with you. I'll put them on the burner. Think about it. I'm going to tell you, and I can't help how I am. But I can tell you this. Brethren, I was a 15-year-old boy when God saved me. 15. And I thought I knowed everything. I did. I felt like I was in control. But I'll tell you something. I've learned some things down through the years. And I graduated high school. I was 17. Started when I was 5. 17-year-old, got in the workforce, and my stars, I'm telling you, my stars, it was a world full of iniquity. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you was in high school, you had boyfriends and girlfriends, and some of the boyfriends had two or three girlfriends, and some of the girls had two or three boyfriends. Wasn't nothing wrong with all that. But brethren, I worked among men and women. Yes, sir. Yeah. Married men and women. And you know what? They all had one or two. Some of them worked there in the same plant. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you something. I said that to say this. Brethren, you don't have to conform to this world.
Amen.
You can. And you know what will happen? You'll be just like them. You'll lose every bit of the Spirit of God you got. I ain't saying you lose your salvation. Y'all boys know what I'm talking about. But brethren, I'll guarantee you, if you don't purpose in yourself, my friend, 15, 16, 17, 20-year-old, whatever you are, brethren, you better have a purpose. If you don't, the world will override it.
Amen.
I work 12-hour days, 5 and 6 days a week. I lived in Adairsville, worked in Calhoun, got off at 6 p.m., you listen. 17-year-old single boy. Yes, sir. Listen. Went to Darzel. Took about 20 minutes. Took me 5 or 10 minutes to get ready, and I was right back in Calhoun, Union Grove Baptist Church, at 7 o'clock. 17-year-old. You hear me? On Wednesday night.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, they got Wednesday night meeting. Wait, They don't need me. I got news for you. That's where you're listening to the world.
Amen.
That's where you just catering to your wants. Oh, I'm too tired tonight. I'm not talking about missing folks. Y'all know that. I'm not talking about missing my friend. I'm talking about dedicating.
Yes.
I'm talking about having a purpose in your life, my friend, that it will not change.
Amen.
Come what may tonight.
Amen.
That's it.
I believe I got that the night I got saved, Steve.
Yeah.
The night I got saved, me and that little lady right over there got married. We got married on Saturday night, did we not? You know where we was at Sunday morning? Church. That ain't popular. Goodness gracious, we miss church today just because we want to.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, they can make that service without us. I got news for you. If you was really dedicated, you'd find out they need you. I know this ain't a shouting message. And I know, my friend, but I promise you, dedication don't come from being in church 40 years. Dedication comes from you purposing in your heart that you will be in church. Come what may. I don't care what age you are. I ain't going to put him on the spot. I could put you on the spot. I could put us all on the spot. Have you ever come to church and you didn't want to? Huh? Kind of question's that? We come. You hear me? We come. I guarantee you there's been people in the house of God that come and they really didn't want to. Really didn't want to. We only had 2 weeks back then. You got July the 4th week and you got Christmas week. That's how the plants were set up. They shut down. You didn't work. We got married June the 30th. Is that not right? I have to ask her. It's the 30th. June the 30th. And the next week was week of the 4th. We was at church Sunday morning. We was at church Sunday night. We left on Monday.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Go on,
man. Yes, sir. We did miss Wednesday night. I got to tell you the whole thing. We did miss our honeymoon. Missed on Wednesday night. She was off that week. I was off that week. What I want you to really, really find out that it takes dedication.
Amen.
To be regular. To be regular. You know, the Word of God teaches us that there's something that we ought to be, which is our reasonable service.
Yeah.
It says our reasonable service.
Yes.
Go on, Randy.
Our reasonable service.
Yes.
What does that mean, folks? We're living in a society, my friend, that they come and go just as they well please. And a lot of times, I'm just going to say it, my friend, we do the same thing in the house of God.
Amen.
Go on, Randy.
Yes, sir. Did we come really to worship the Lord? Now, I'm going to I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to get on. I'll get on. Y'all just, I'll hush here in a minute. There's a lot of us, my friend, that come up a lot different than how it is today. In the house of God. Yes, sir. In the house of God. I'm just going to say it. We have gotten laxed on how we come to the house of God.
Amen.
Preacher, all that ain't in that covenant. Oh, it's full of it. I ain't even going to get finished with it. Do you know that?
Bless the Lord.
I'm not going to get finished with it. It's, folks, it's just not to these two.
Amen.
It's not. Preacher, you put so much pressure on them, they going to run and go. I got news for you, and I'll tell you this. If they can run and it not bother them, run on. But if they got born again, like they say they did,
yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
They won't run far.
Yeah.
No. No, sir, they won't run far. Oh, preacher, I it won't be long. I'll get out from under my mom and dad, and I'll live somewhere else, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You ain't running nowhere.
Yes.
They ain't nowhere, my friend, that Spirit of God won't find you.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what Fred Coker said about it, and he was over in the war, yeah. World War II. He said, it will get in the foxhole with you.
Yeah.
Exactly what he said. More than once. So you can go and you can just live your life just as casual. Preacher, I don't want no worries. I got news for you. You're a member.
Bless the Lord.
You're a member. You know when the world sees you? When you're with them. You know what the world knows about you?
Yeah.
That you're a member of a local church somewhere. And your actions in the midst of them, my friend, is gonna tell on you.
Amen.
It'll tell on you.
Amen.
We're owned by a Jew. I often thought it was fairly comical. We was owned by a Jew out of St. Louis, Missouri. And his right-hand man was a Catholic. And I thought that's the oddest combination that they probably could be. But one day, here come the owner. And his right man was with him. And I was walking down the aisle, down through the plant. And Greg, the Catholic, I communicated with him most every day. He stopped me. He said, Randy, he said, I want you to meet your boss. That's how he put it. So he introduced me to him. And Greg told him, he said, now, he's a Baptist preacher. That's the end of the discussion. That's it. We went on. I never had too many conversations with Brother Marvin except when he come. When he come, listen, for whatever reason, when he come to the plant, didn't matter where I was at, he wouldn't talk to me.
Amen.
His first question was, you still preaching?
Amen.
Yeah.
Last time I talked to him, Tammy, he told me, you know what he told me? He said, I'm reading the Greek Bible. He said, I'm studying it. The man was 80-something year old. Listen, he was a Jew to the fullest extent, I'll say. But listen, his right-hand man being a Catholic, and you know what the right-hand man done one day? He called me. We conversed on several things, but he called me for a different reason, totally. Yeah. He said, Randy, he said, I want you to know that I did not know what was in that Bible. He said, I'm learning. He said, there's a group of us that reads twice a week.
Amen.
Together. What was they doing? Reading the Word of God.
Amen.
The man was 70 years old. Huh? Took him a lifetime, my friend, before he realized that there's something about the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Now, ain't that something?
Yeah. Bless him.
Amen.
But he was excited.
Yeah.
Jeff, he was excited because he had learned some things out of the Word of God. Things he wouldn't taught as a Catholic.
Amen.
There'll be things taught around here, folks, that these men, they'll pick up on. And you know where they're going to pick them up from? You.
Yeah.
You. And there'll be some things that they'll lay hold of because you mentioned it. Or because you brought it out. That's how we grow. Yes, it is. Y'all, I'm gonna have to hush. I ain't gonna get down to all of it. I don't think. There's some things in this church covenant that will apply to one of you. And it will apply to the other one of you when you get married and have children. This says, we also engage to maintain family and secret devotions. I'm going to be point blank blunt. That means home. Home. Family. And secret devotions. It ought not to be, my friend, that the only time you hear about the Lord is in the house of God. Ought not to be. To religiously educate our children. That's on you. To seek the salvation of our kindred. There might be a reason I got to stop. I don't worry too much about what time it is. I'll say this, most of you worry about time more than I do when it comes to this part. But I'm going to have to hush. But I want to finish this. Let me finish this paragraph. To seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. To walk circumspectly in the world. To be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior.
Yes,
I've run out of time. I'm going to have to stop right there. Preacher, I don't know whether I like that or not. Well, she's on the wall, reader. She's on the wall. Engage. Engage. Put it in action. Anybody got anything you need to say or do?